Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, pretty familiar, really familiar. If you would see my Bible, you would see, amen, in the book of Exodus, in the beginning is where the binding is coming loose, amen, starting there. And I've got lots of notes, amen, in this chapter, but we're going back there again today by the prompting of the Lord this morning. Amen. Exodus 19, verse 16 is where we're going to begin. Again, glad to have everybody welcome you. Luann and I love each and every one of you today. Praise God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen. He says it's everlasting to everlasting. Everything's going to fade away. Amen. Even the world will pass away, but His Word will not. He's not talking about a book. He's talking about, amen, the foundation that He established with His Word. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Everybody have it. Say amen. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Amen? We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for His Word today. Come on, hallelujah. Let's make it ready, hallelujah, for a release in the house. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. My soul is exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. I rejoice that this is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And if the Lord will allow me, amen, to minister today, I want to minister on this thought. Go up the mountain. Amen. Go up the mountain. Look at your neighbor and say that. Go up the mountain. Amen. Go up the mountain. Here in Exodus chapter 19 is a picture of Moses. Moses. Amen. Beautiful picture here, amen, that as Moses is talking to God, God responds to Moses, amen, and answers him. And God is allowing this experience. Now, understand that the children of Israel have been brought out of the land of Egypt, amen. Moses has led them out, amen, and they are getting ready to pursue, amen, the will of God for not only them, amen, but setting the precedence for where we are today, amen. But God is leading them into the land of promise, and they come, amen, to Mount Sinai. God has a plan, amen. But when we look at this experience that Moses is having with God, I believe that God is allowing this experience because He needed Israel to respect Moses. He needed Israel to understand that Moses, amen, was in this thing for his life. Moses is the one, amen, that God has chosen, that God used, amen, and amen, destined for him to lead the people out, amen. He wanted the people to know that he knew Moses. He wanted them to know that he knew who Moses was. And the Bible tells us that when Moses came down, amen, from the mountain, that the people wanted to know what God said, amen. And so I want us to look at that for a moment this morning, as I, the Lord began to lay this on my heart, and as I begin to kind of look at this, amen, in a different way, I think, than I had before this particular story, anyhow, amen. But when, again, when Moses came down, the people wanted to know what God said. Remember? Remember that they were afraid to go up, so God called Moses up to come up onto, amen, the mountain, amen. And so I want us to look for a moment at the Moses mindset, amen. At that Moses mindset that someone goes up the mountain to hear what God has to say, that they report it back to the people. Amen. And so this experience, amen, as we look in the Word of God, amen, is something that I think we need to pay attention to. And it never even correlated in my mind this morning that, Luann's been teaching about the high priest, amen, and about Moses and Moses setting the precedence. And when I began to sit in class this morning, it clicked, amen, that he has been teaching, amen, about this very thing, and about how that God was setting the stage and God was giving us a picture of what was to come. And so this mindset, this Moses mindset that the people had to for Moses to go up, amen, and to hear what God had to say, then come back and report it back to the people. Now, of course, this was before there was an empty tomb, amen. And before there was an empty tomb, amen, was a burial. Before there was a burial, there was a death. Before a death, there was a crucifixion. Before a crucifixion, there was a trial. Before the trial, there was a false accusation. And before the false accusation, there was evidence of God being revealed in, amen, to the people that this Messiah was going to come. And before the prophecy, there was a revelation of God to the people that he wanted to have a relationship with them. And before the revelation, there was a personal revelation to one man showing access to God's presence was possible. This personal encounter revealed that there were boundaries of limitations in which stay because of the holiness of God. This revealed that man on his own merit could not do this because of our sin. Amen. This revealed that there had to be a mediator, a go-between, a chosen intercessor, amen, to go between God and the people. Moses was proof of this concept, that as all the people could not go up into the presence of the Lord, Moses was acting as an intercessor. He was acting as a mediator. He was that go-between, between God and his presence and the people. He said, "You all stay here. I'll go up the mountain, amen, to where the presence of God is. I will go up there." Remember, I just read to you, amen, that God revealed himself, amen, on the top of the mountain as a thick cloud. And there was the sound of a shofar. There was the sound of a trumpet. And the Bible says that Moses began to speak to God, and God answered him. But the sound of that trumpet got louder and louder and louder, to where the people, amen, were afraid and they trembled. And Moses said, "You stay down here. I'll go up to where the presence of the Lord is." And this is exactly why the office of the high priest was set into place. God was now trying to reestablish, amen, the connection that he had with mankind in the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve before they sinned and the separation had to take place. The Bible says that God made them priests there, amen, and caretakers of, amen, the provision. So God now is trying to show his people that I desire to have a relationship with you. But because of the sin that is upon you, that you are now born into. You cannot come into my presence freely, but I desire a relationship with you so much that I'm going to create a man, a place where there can be someone who meets the requirements, a man of holiness unto me, that I will allow into my presence, that will act as a go-between, a mediator between you and me. And so Moses was now setting this precedence of a one that was chosen, that was allowed to enter into the presence of God, and then come back and give the people what God said. We know that God, from that, set up the office of the high priest, where now the high priest once a year, which is what we're getting ready to remember in the couple of months, the high priest once a year could go into what was called the most holy place, where the presence of the Lord dwelt, and he now could take the place of all of the people of Israel, and he would now go in and serve as the mediator. Because of sin to be a sacrifice, so he the sacrifice into the presence of the Lord, and God would respond to him. He would then return to the people with a response from God. Hallelujah. And this week, as I was meditating and taking advantage of the quiet time, thinking about the season of the life that we are in. It's been a spiritual season now for 2 years, and now every area of our life is a season right now.
Yeah.
And I begin to think about all of the different answers that I've been wanting to hear from God. Just one.
Yes.
I just want to know.
Right.
And just when you think you've got at least one thing settled,
well,
by me. The pinball starts going all directions, bouncing off of everything. And you're like, well, there goes that. And I begin to think about all the answers that I don't have. Now, I'm not telling you that I don't still want them. And honestly, they're legitimate questions. Is the only way I know how to say it. But again, begin to think about all the answers that I haven't gotten.
But you will.
When I go into my secret place, and I go into that personal time, into the presence of God to pray, and I wait for those answers, and they're not coming. And I got to thinking about that. How many times in life, but especially here, you know, in this season, of course, that I went in to the secret place hoping for an answer and come out without one. But I realized that every time I've went into the secret place, I've always got his presence. He's never, I may not have got my answer, but I got his presence. And I don't ever want to take his presence for granted. And I can tell you, amen, there's been several people who have reached out to me in this season. Thank God, because God has placed me on their heart. They're like, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, yes, maybe some answers. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. People that I've asked, you know, pray with me. Just, I could use some prayer today. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't get any answers from, amen, those people. Not that I was looking for answers from them, but you understand my principle here. But I realized, hallelujah, that nobody can go into his presence for me except me. And I've never failed, amen, to get his presence when I go before him with my heart in the right posture and my mind in the right position to say, your will, Lord, not my will. So I may not get the answers, but I will get his presence. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy is not based on the circumstances. It's based on the truth that he is Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. Are you hearing me? Jehovah Rohi. He is my shepherd, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He pours oil in the wounds that are upon my head. He gives me sustenance, and he leads me. Hallelujah. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, he's Jehovah Shammah, because he's my Father. He's my God. He's not the preacher's God that gives me a report. Somebody better help me. But he's my God. You hear me? Look at your neighbor and say, go up the mountain.
Go up the mountain.
See, cups overflow when we come down from the top of the mountain. Hang with me. I'm not going to keep you long. But I said our cups overflow when we come down from the mountain. Now, we want more of him, and we refuse to stay off of the top of the mountain. And even though I still don't have my answers, I know when I go to the top of the mountain, his presence remains there. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The enemy will tell us that God is withdrawn, and sometimes it feels that way. But you know what else I was thinking about this week? Hallelujah. My feelings. Amen. Versus the truth. And no matter how I feel or what I'm feeling, my feelings have to bow to the truth. They have to surrender to the truth. Are you hearing me? Somebody help me in this place. See, here's the thing. It's not a man's responsibility to bring God to you. It's your responsibility now to go to the top of the mountain and bring God back down with you. Somebody better help me in this place. I ain't talking about interceding and praying. I'm talking about replacing. Hallelujah. That personal time and that personal experience in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not the pastor's responsibility. Yeah. See, God chooses people to teach you. Matter of fact, he said, his word, Paul said in the word that not everybody needs to be teaching. That's a different message. But he did. He said, there really aren't that as many teachers as y'all think there are.
Well, all right, come on.
Not everybody should be teaching, but God chooses people to teach you and to give you the truth to strengthen you to continue to go up the mountain. Are you with me? But it's not the pastor's responsibility to take you into the presence of God. You can't just show up here. I'm going to be pastorish right now. You can't just show up here and never go to the mountain and then expect me and lay the weight and responsibility on me, and I'm just using me because I'm the pastor here, amen, but on any pastor to take you into the presence of God, and that then if you leave and don't get what you felt like you should have gotten, now it's that man's fault. Somebody better help me when it ain't that man's fault. Hallelujah. If they're preaching the truth and the word and they're giving it to you and they've been on the mountain, come on somebody, there's all kinds of stipulations, I understand, but it is not their responsibility to get you to the mountaintop. It's their responsibility to teach you how to go, to give you tools and things to help you, strengthen you to get there, but it is your responsibility to get into the presence of the Lord, because there is nothing that is parading you from God anymore. We have, especially in the Western church, the Americanized church, we have put undue responsibility and pressure on people that is not biblical. And we hold people as responsible and accountable for what we should be responsible and accountable for. Come on, somebody. Don't get me going down the rabbit trail, man. I ain't Moses.
Right.
All morning, I thought we used to sing that old song. You know, when I'm thankful that I'm able to play what I can with the piano. Don't take me wrong. I don't like being back there. I don't like having to play that. And when I don't do it all the time, you got all these, you know, all these combo chords and all this stuff. I ain't got the mind. I ain't got the wherewithal to care to learn it for one song,
right,
one service every 6 months. I'm just being honest.
I feel that.
The end of the day, I don't give a hoot.
Right.
If it gets combined or if it don't, you can see how many times this morning in the one song I took my hand off the keys because I didn't even remember what they showed me in practice.
Right.
You understand? I can go back there when I need to, but I don't like being back there. You know. But we had to, I had the songs all picked out. We had to change the first one because of circumstances, and then so you know, they were all, you know, working on what to do, and we got to the next one that was going to take the place of that song, and you know, CJ couldn't play it. Connor was struggling, so we had to change that. So anytime the worship team hears that I'm playing piano, it's we got to do all easy songs. Songs that we've sang 150,000 times. And I still don't know them because I don't play them. I don't play them enough. You know what I mean? And then I get, you know,
that's
anxious and nervous. And then when it's a song that I have to lead and think about the words,
right,
and think about changing the chords, I'm done. I'm not kidding you. I'm like, I don't even want to do this. So I was just playing an old song that we sang years ago, and they're like, let's sing that one. Hayden's like, no. But we sang it anyway. But my point to all that was, is I was thinking about another old song this morning as I was, the Lord was giving me this, and I was studying this, and it was an old song that said, my Lord will send a Moses,
yep,
to lead you out. And I thought, you know what? That's really not correct.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, it's all good and cool. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Woo! Yeah. You know, gets us that God's going to deliver us. But he's already let us out.
Come on.
The way has already been made out of whatever it is that we're in or going through. You understand that? I'm talking to myself. Do you realize that? The way has already been made out. We don't need a Moses. We just need the will and the strength, desire to go up the mountain, to get into the presence like Moses did. Moses was willing to lay down his life for Israel. When he came down and they had made the golden calf, he said God was angry. And he said, God, if you won't forgive them, take my life as well. If you can't forgive them, take my life too. He was willing to lay down his life for the sake of Israel, just like Jesus came down from heaven and was willing to lay down his life for the sake of mankind. We don't need Moses. I'm not your Moses. The evangelist is not your Moses. The prophet is not your Moses. The apostle is not your Moses. Do you understand that people spend thousands of dollars to travel, to get on planes and travel to conferences and travel to these meetings where they believe that these apostles and these prophets have entered into the presence of the Lord in such a measure that now they will take a vacation from work. They'll take time off work. They'll spend their savings to go hear what God said to that person. It's disgusting.
Right, yeah.
I believe it's putrid in the nostrils of God. Now, there's a place for everything. Don't misunderstand me, but do you understand what I mean? And then they seek for these experiences. And then when they don't get these out-of-body experiences and the feathers and the gold dust and all of the visions and they just arrested the guy. I don't mean that. Sorry, I'll probably get in trouble. I'll probably get tagged. Or get tagged on YouTube. But the guy from Michigan that just got arrested, that calls himself the preacher of all preachers, that Jesus came and visited him and told him that he was the Pope to the people. He's not Catholic, he's Pentecost. But that he was that place. And thousands and thousands of people flock and give their money, and they are multimillionaires, and they are now under arrest, under FBI investigation for human trafficking. And all of these things that they're doing with all of these people's money that they give to go hear what the Lord said to the man who made it to the top of the mountain. Help us, Jesus. And thank you, God, for exposure in this hour that we are in. When it doesn't cost you anything but your time and your will,
yes,
to go up the mountain and get into the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. There's no special Jesus revelation for this one and that one. Jesus revealed himself and man on the cross. For whosoever will, let him come. Taste and see the Lord is good. All you got to do is take a taste. All you got to do is take a drink. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me today? I'm trying to finish. The pastor isn't Moses. The preacher isn't Moses. We can stand in the gap for you as you pursue the will of God.
Yep. Right.
And we should be leading you with compassion, yep, and truth. And we should ultimately be an example of a life yielded to God through Christ and the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Therefore, equipping you to become the person that God has destined you to be in Him. That's our place. So this celebrity mentality in the church has got to stop. These preachers, you got pastors here in this town, here within this city, who have such a mindset of a celebrity. They are untouchable.
Yep.
And they are sinning. They are committing fraud. And they are allowing debauchery and sin and fornication and adultery happen within the confines of their leadership, covering it up, hiding it, and believe they should be surrounded by people who cater and bow to their every whim, drying them off when they take a bath and getting their clothes ready. Don't you show up in my bathroom when I'm taking a shower. Come on. But that's the mindset. And they've got people convinced that they've got a special place on the mountain.
Yeah.
And people show up every week to hear what God is speaking to that person instead of them. Are you hearing me? You got celebrity worship leaders. You got celebrity singers. You got celebrity. It's in the body of Christ. But God is saying in these last hours, you say, "Well, this is Old Testament." Well. Here we go to the new. And it's the book of Acts. Everybody's go-to. Acts chapter 4. And when they heard that, they lifted up.